section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
And welcome to Off the Mark. I'm Andrew. He's Aaron. Let's get right into the news. The Rock will be regularly appearing on Raw. Will this help the ratings out, Aaron?
Yeah, probably. When he was appearing, you know, last year, it definitely helped out the ratings. I know that I definitely tuned in a lot more, and you can, you know, definitely tell my level of enthusiasm if you listen to the previous episodes when he was on. But I think that this could help out. They're saying he will appear regularly. Basically around Elimination Chamber time up until WrestleMania. And they're saying basically he'll be on every Monday Night Raw. So that, I think, would be really great for the ratings, and it'll be really great for the feud that him and Cena will have.
Oh, yeah, that would be really nice. Plus, the ratings were down. It was only a 2.9, which that's pretty low, actually, for Raw. But Tyler Black is going to be debuting soon as a heel.
Do you like this?
Why is a heel? I don't get the heel part.
I'm not sure. He's been wrestling as a heel, and I think that they're, you know, basically trying to get some heat on him. I don't know who he's going to come in and feud with right away. I do kind of like the idea, though, of him coming out as a heel, just because he can just come out, and I'm not saying Daniel Bryan, but basically somebody like that he can run out and just beat the crap out of, you know? Like, maybe, you know, it'd be pretty good for him to do it on would be Zack Ryder, because Zack Ryder's right in the middle. It'll help boost Tyler Black right to the middle standard, so he can be in the U.S. title hunt or IC title hunt right away.
That's true. Unlike, you know, Evan Bourne, who where is he? So the rumor is that Batista might return soon. He's just did the Scorpion King 3.
Oh, great movie, by the way.
Oh, by the way, it's straight to DVD. So if that tells you how good it's going to be, it's straight to DVD.
Oh, such a good movie. I think most underrated movie of 2011 or 2012, whenever that piece of crap.
It gets released soon. If not already, it doesn't matter. It sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, so here's something. Let's do a quick rumor because of something that happened on Raw. Or you know what? Let's just talk about Raw.
Well, why don't we just talk about it? They're saying that Yokozuna may be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yes, he may be one of the people inducted, which actually I agree with it. Because he was a, you know, he was a big time or big guy, but he was also big in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they induct him. It just wouldn't surprise me, and I think it's time that he gets in.
I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea either. I don't want to go on my rant about the Hall of Fame. So I will try to stay away from that. But they may be inducting a few too many this year, to the point that the following year they may not have enough people to go around. Mm-hmm. And so while I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, I would, you know, I think that they'll probably induct Randy Savage this year. You know,
I don't think so.
I think that they will.
Nope. I think they'll wait. Because here's why they're going to wait on him. They can first sell stuff of Randy Savage's. First, and then they can push. They can start doing a push in July. Have a DVD come out. Do something in October with the network. Do something in for like December, and then in January you announce that he's coming. That he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay,
that's what I think they should do.
Well, but
I think that's what they'll
WWE
do.
WWE likes to capitalize on things.
Yeah, but
after Eddie Guerrero died. What happened with him? He was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Where's Chris Benoit? He should have been in the Hall of Fame no matter what happened. He still
really?
It's the WWE wrestlers that are inducted, right? Or
No, it's I'm entertainers, sorry. Andy.
The entertainers.
It is entertainers.
He was a great entertainer until he killed his family.
Didn't Drew Carey get inducted into the Hall of Fame?
They only did that for publicity. Everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, the point is, I think that he should be in there. It's just a matter of, you know, do you think that they might be inducting a couple too many? Which, you know, might as well go ahead and get into Raw. You know, I don't know if you want to jump straight to the Hall of Fame
stuff.
Let's
talk about
not,
it. So Edge is getting in.
Yeah.
And so are the Four Horsemen. Ironically, I think the only reason they're doing the Four Horsemen now is because Barry Windham, I remember hearing a long time ago, the Windham family wanted him in and made a big push about it. And I think they're like, well, we get Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson's not in yet. Mm-hmm. So you can induct Arn Anderson. Ric Flair's already in. He's with TNA, so he's not going to show. So you could have at least three of the Four Horsemen plus J.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard he's the new Raw GM, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there. Rumor.
So anyway, Edge and the Four Horsemen. Last year, I kind of went on a rant about how the NFL, you know, induct five people a year and that's it, and how I like that. And already they have announced five people who are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. In fact, they actually announced more than that because Mills Mascaras was also announced earlier. In the middle of 2011, he was announced as being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So already you have six people, one of which is already there. So you have five people. Okay. So five people now have already been announced for the Hall of Fame. You're going to add Yokozuna to that mix. I think that they're going to add Randy Savage. I really do. And then there's a good chance that they're going to add more people. So this year, you're probably going to have about nine people inducted into the Hall of Fame, and which, like I said before, you're going to run out of people. And that's my biggest problem. And does Edge really need to be in the Hall of Fame this quickly? He just ended his career. Ultimate Warrior could be in there, couldn't he? Can Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, but the thing is, no one would understand what he's saying. They'd have to have. He'd say something. He'd be like, blah, 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 blah. I want to thank the WWE for putting me in the Hall of Fame. And the soul will be sucked.
What about IRS? Should we put him in there?
He wasn't inducted, though.
Was he inducted? Okay. I don't even know. That's how bad it is. When you induct 20 people a year, you don't remember who got inducted.
I think IRS is in it. For some reason, I think he's in. But the other thing also with the Hall of Fame, I know we're going on a rant right now, but bear with me. The thing about the Hall of Fame is I think at some point you can actually stop and say, I'm going to induct six wrestlers every year. Coco Beware, honestly, I was happy with that one because I thought that because he's one. I think there's icons that I think they were never that good, but there's icons that you're like, I want them in the Hall of Fame. He was one of them. I was like, great, he's in. There's someone else that I would love to see in, but I don't know if it's her time yet. I'd love to see Molly Holly get in because she hasn't wrestled in so long. And yeah. I think last time I checked, she's not wrestling at all. She's training. In fact, she got, if I'm correct, Beth Phoenix and someone else. They got them to wrestle, which was kind of cool.
So I'm taking a look right now. What was do you remember IRS's real name by chance?
Oh, gosh, his kid's wrestling. He's the
Husky Harris.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think his name's not Harris, though. But I'm taking a look. I don't see IRS in here anywhere. So I don't think that he's
Mike Rotunda. It's Mike Rotunda, dude. It's Mike Rotunda.
Okay. Let me take a look because I don't see him in here. That's the thing.
Maybe he's not in.
So here's the thing. Why not induct IRS before you induct Edge? I like Edge a lot. And it's sad that he is gone. I would love to have seen Edge go further. I really would have. But he unfortunately couldn't. Here's the thing, though. There are a ton of people who should be inducted before Edge. A ton of people. In fact, you know what? All right, I'm going to make a note of this right now. Top five people who should be inducted before Edge. That's what I'm going to do.
Gosh.
But let's move on, Andy.
Real quick.
Obviously
we spent too much time on it, but I gotta ask you a really quick question, all right? What was IRS's finishing move?
Tax check?
He had two. One was the stock market crash and the write-off.
The write-off.
Anyways, let's somebody better call my mama. The Funkasaurus has finally debuted, Brodus Clay. Oh my gosh. When he first came out, I'm like, oh, sweet, Papa Shango's back. First thing I thought. But apparently it wasn't. It was the Funkasaurus.
So I have to ask you this. They had a 3-month build up. 3 months they built this guy. Now, don't get me wrong. A 3 month buildup, nothing he does is going to be good enough. Nothing. Okay. But a 3 month buildup for Funkasaurus.
I don't know, dude. Honestly, I think this is like one of the dumbest things they've done, but it's also funny because as you see from the artwork, I'm sorry, but I felt so bad. I mean, so bad for Kurt Hawkins because he just gave me the look of, I can't believe I have to wrestle this guy, but at least I'm on Raw, but I got to wrestle this guy. Dang it. Gets in the ring. He looked great, by the way. I got to say, Kurt Hawkins, great job. Very happy for him. He did a great job. I just don't understand this. I mean, I know the officials were happy about it, and some of the, but it was more, it was comical to me. But also, when the Godfather first appeared, I thought it was stupid. I really thought the Godfather was stupid. But you started over time, you're like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to happen with this. It's just that he's unclear if he's a face or if he's a heel. It seems more of a face because, you know, of like, you know, the music and the dancing girls. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. For me, and I understand that they're trying to do it to, you know, have like that fun character. I don't care for it. I don't have a feeling like this is going to mean anything.
But dude, you know? I thought the same thing about the Godfather.
And he didn't mean anything.
But still, it was kind of funny seeing him come out. It was comical. And he's like, everyone want to, you know, take a ride on the Ho train. I thought that was funny. And I'm sorry, but the theme song they have for Brodus Clay, that is pretty funny. Because it's just the same thing over and over again. Would someone please call her? It just makes me laugh, dude. But anyway, so we have something interesting that happened. So Jericho comes out and does the same crap he did last week. Except for some reason, this time he leaves the ring crying.
Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, man, the Oscar for greatest performance by a wrestler so far this year was gonna go to Brodus Clay.
Yes, it was.
But
it was.
Now it's gonna go to Chris Jericho.
See, the thing about this, though, I can see where, yes, I agree with you. I also can not agree with you. I think it's funny because he's going to say, I think they're going to do something basically because they keep talking about the end and it's going to build up all the way till when are we supposed to, the world's going to end? What, December 21st, 2012? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's when the calendar ends. It doesn't matter. But the thing is that I think they're going to play off that the entire time. And then when the world doesn't end, he's going to make fun of people.
You think that they're going to use this for the next 10, 11 months?
I wouldn't be surprised.
So here's what's actually going to happen. They're trying to turn him heel in one way, shape, or form, okay?
Right.
That's what they're trying to do. And the problem is he should come out and he should basically be like, oh, I'm so glad you guys are cheering me. But you know what? Isn't this the same crowd that cheered when Randy Orton punted me a year and a half ago and show the clip of that happening?
Yeah.
And basically, you know, say, you know what? Screw you guys. Like, and he could say that because that's not like, you know, it's not PG-13 or, you know, it's, R.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could be like, screw you fans. I don't like you because of this. And, you know, of course, he's going to get a ton of boos then. And he can just play off that. Play off the fact that, you know, they want to see him get injured. Well, you know what? I don't like you guys. And, you know, do that. That's what they should be doing. This stuff that they're doing right now, don't get me wrong, this segment did not run over what it should have. It ran
perfect,
precisely what it should have. This is what last week's should have been.
Here, can you explain what you just said? I need to send that to the WWE writers so they can steal more of our stuff.
But they did a very good job of having that. But it's just they really need to do a better job of making him a heel, because I think that what's going to happen is people are still going to cheer him. And so when he goes up against CM Punk, you know, which is what they're trying to do, it's basically going to be one of those things where people are going to cheer for both of them. It'll be like Hogan versus Warrior, you know?
Well, see, I think what's going to happen is he's going to do it again. This is going to happen next week. But I think what's going to happen is someone's going to come out and say, would you just say something? Or, you know, like something's going to happen like that. Or I just wouldn't be surprised they do something along those lines.
Yeah.
But anyway, so CM Punk and the Dolph Ziggler feud is going great, but weird. Because Jack Swagger faced him, of course, to, you know, rough him up, you know, in quotes, mm-hmm. of course. Speaking of that, when is the Royal Rumble? Is it next week?
No, it's in 2 weeks.
It's in 2 weeks. Okay.
It's so the NFL has the AFC and NFC championship games, and then they have the Royal Rumble, and then the Super Bowl is the following Sunday.
And then the Pro Bowl, which no one watches.
Well, the Pro Bowl, I think, is actually during Royal Rumble, but, you know, no one will be caught dead watching the Pro Bowl. So, you know, they just move on.
Chris Benoit?
So anyway, I actually like the Punk Ziggler feud. I think that we haven't talked about it enough on here. I think the thing I really like about it is that Punk is helping elevate Dolph Ziggler to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I think that the other thing that's really nice about this is that this feud has been going on for over 2 weeks now, and there's still two Raws until the pay-per-view. So they're doing a smart job of booking, because this means that they're doing a real build-up. So when this match actually happens for a third time, I know, when it happens for a third time, it's going to be a pretty big deal. And so that's the thing that I'm happy about. And I think that people should be also very happy that WWE is actually doing something, you know, pretty good here, that they're actually advertising this and then they're going forward. The only thing I don't like that they're not advertising is they're not advertising. I don't think they've announced it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but have they announced if it's a 30 or 40 man Royal Rumble? Have they announced who's in it?
They have, you know, they said that there's a couple people that were announced that are going to be in it, but they're, you know, the guys that are going to get thrown out in the first few minutes.
But the other thing that they used to do, which I loved, was they would have matches where, okay, you know, this is the 30th entry, or this is going to be for the first entry, and, you know, you're going to wrestle to see if you can even be in the Royal Rumble. Right. And that was a big deal, you know, for people to not be in the Royal Rumble. And, you know, that's something I would like to see brought back, because they could be using that right now. And unfortunately, they're not.
That's their fault. And like I said, I think they should actually focus a lot on the Royal Rumble and actually, you know, have matches like you were just saying. That's a great idea. They'll probably start, I bet you, this Raw. They'll probably start on this Raw, start doing them. And then they'll continue over to SmackDown. And then, so you basically have four shows that you can do that on. Mm-hmm. Or if they do a Superstars, they could do it on Superstars too. You could have Alex Riley versus some random guy and have Alex Riley actually get in so we can see him on a pay-per-view for a change.
By the way, I should make mention that, you know, this is also speculation, okay? But at WWE.com/show/Royal Rumble match, it has here that it's 30 WWE superstars will have the ultimate opportunity. So it looks like they might be going back to 30.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like I said before, the thing I like about it is that you're going to have the cream of the crop. You're not going to have just, you know, you're not going to have Santino in there and expect him to win. You're going to have big name people in there who you could see win. And I like that idea, but that's just me. Let's move on to SmackDown though, Andy. Really, SmackDown, the biggest thing that happened on there was Daniel Bryan wrestled Big Show.
Uh-huh. But you don't want to talk about Brodus Clay again? So, like I said, Daniel Bryan and Big Show wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To a no contest, because apparently AJ got injured, and for whatever reason, that means that they have to stop the match and check on her to make sure that everything's okay, you know?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Daniel Bryan and her, you know?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
By the way, I have a feeling I know what's going to happen with this. It's going to be something really stupid where, like, Daniel Bryan has actually been dating Caitlyn behind AJ's back this entire time. I just have a feeling they're going to do that, and honestly, that would just be horrible and funny altogether. Which, by the way, I like the fact that they're making him into a heel. When he was a heel in Ring of Honor, because he was for a little bit, at least to my standards, he was a heel, I thought he was great. I thought he was more over, but then when he became a face, he was even bigger. It reminds me of kind of what happened to MVP. He was kind of a face at first, and they just turned him heel. And he was all cocky and stuff. Then when he turned face, he was huge. And I think that's what they're going to have to do with Daniel Bryan. I think he's going to have to go to a heel for a little bit and then have something happen where he turns to a face.
Well, and they did that with Rock, too. I mean, Rock was supposed to come out as a fan favorite.
That's true.
And then, you know, they had him be heel. But then he went back to face, you know, like when he was an upper mid-carder. Mm-hmm. And then he won the WWE title, right? Well, when he won it, they actually had him win it and turn heel, you know, have him turn heel by winning it. And it was one of those things that was like, okay, this actually helped elevate him to the next level by having him win that and have him turn heel at the same time. So I think that's one of those things. I agree with you. Daniel Bryan turning heel would be a good thing. And yeah, they're obviously really slowly doing it. yet at the same time trying to make Daniel Bryan look good. So it, I don't mind it. And I think that that's one of the things on SmackDown that keeps me watching SmackDown right now. So, yep.
And yeah, it SmackDown. Yeah, it's just a bunch of matches. It seems like, but I think once the WWE Network starts happening, I think SmackDown will be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so I just want to, you know, we have our longest running advertiser, of course, is HostGator. And if you sign up with them, use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. We need to talk about Genesis, by the way. I missed some of the pay-per-view, by the way. I was going to rewatch it. I still haven't. My bad. But the main thing is that Austin Aries retains his title.
Yeah. It was a fatal four-way match. You know, I thought that this is something, you know, and it kind of goes to them not keeping your attention. But they had Zema Ion wrestle that one kid in a best of three match series to become the number one contender. Okay, this is what they had advertised.
Mm-hmm.
So Zema Ion now is the number one contender. Yet for some god unknown reason, they have a fatal four-way match. No, don't get me wrong. It was a good match, and it was very enjoyable, and I like those when they do fatal four-way matches. Those are fun. But why have this number one contender match then? It meant nothing. You literally had this thing that they built up. We're going to have a three-match, you know, best of three series. And, oh, by the way, this doesn't mean anything because you guys are just going to wrestle in the pay-per-view anyway. So it was really poor booking on their part. You know, Austin Aries retained, which is great. You know, I'm glad that they're letting him have this big run.
Mm-hmm.
I said before, and I would love to see this, have John Morrison come in and, you know, take the title away from him. You know, I think that'd be really great. And then move Austin Aries on to something even bigger is what I would like to see. But that's just kind of what I would like to see. I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Every time you say Austin Aries, I want to have a song that says, "Man Crush." Man crush. So Kurt Angle beats James Storm. I thought Kurt Angle would actually put him over. I really thought.
This is kind of weird booking because last pay-per-view, I thought Kurt Angle would have won. And then this pay-per-view you have Storm win, you know, since they tied 1-1. But instead they had Storm win last pay-per-view and they had Angle win this one. So now Storm is still up 2-1. So it's kind of like, what's the, you know, point? Like this match, even though it was nice and you got to see Storm in a different light and, you know, see him kind of in the main stage, it's still one of those, well, yeah, but Angle won. And, you know.
Where do you go from here? What was the point of having Kurt win? Come on.
Yeah.
He should have put him over. He should have put Storm over.
Well, it's just, that's poor writing, honestly. And yeah, it would have been very predictable to have, you know, Storm win, then Angle win, then Storm win. Yeah, I understand that, but it's about also having good writing, something that makes sense.
Yep, at least Dexter has good writing. So Robert Roode retains against Jeff Hardy, but only after he was disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this was too soon, or was this, they did this on purpose so next pay-per-view they can have another match?
They did this so that way they could continue the storyline between the two. I actually kind of like this, though. I understand, you know, it's kind of funny because WWE and TNA are doing the same thing. WWE is doing it with Daniel Bryan with, you know, getting a wins over Big Show by cheating. And same thing here. Robert Roode's doing it by getting wins over AJ and over Hardy by sneaky methods, so to speak. So it's kind of interesting.
Nice. So that's basically the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to Impact Wrestling. Decent show. We had Samoa Joe and Mangus. It looks like they're going to remain a tag team. Or are they? Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're going to remain a tag team. They lost at the pay-per-view. I actually kind of thought they might win. Because I don't know. Crimson, I know that they don't have anything for him right now.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to see him, you know, maybe not there or maybe do something else with them. So I thought that Samoa Joe and Magnus might win. But, you know, we talked about it last week. I kind of like him as a tag team. And, you know, it looks like they're going to continue this, you know, and mm-hmm. I kind of like that.
I do, too. I think it's going to be interesting to see what, because I like the fact they lost, but then it gives them more, like, I think it'll be a bigger pop if and when they win. So anyway, Styles and Kaz talk about what happened last week.
Yeah.
So they're hanging
Kaz
out.
Turning heel, you know, by walking out on AJ in kind of a weird way. Because he kind of did it with, you know, blank stare. And it's like, does Daniels now have power over Kaz?
Yeah, he might. It's just really interesting, dude. I have a feeling they're doing this kind of right now.
I kind of think that they might be too. And I it looks like it might be going to a three-way with Daniels, you know, so I mean that would be great matches. I like Kaz, and you know, we talked about Kaz as a heel last week. I actually almost would like to see him as a tweener, you know, see him as like that guy who, yeah, he's kind of a good guy, but he's got an edge to him, you know, and I kind of like that. So they might do that.
That's a nice one, dude. Anyway, so. Every time I just want to, instead of calling him James Storm, I just want to be like, so Lance Storm. But yeah, so anyway, so James Storm actually beat Kurt Angle to be the number one contender. So on free TV, you see that James Storm can win, but at pay-per-views, it looks like Kurt Angle is definitely going to go on top.
This is also goes back to my bad booking, you know, what I was talking about. Why not announce at the pay-per-view that these two are going to wrestle for the number one contendership? Why not do that and make it worth something? Because they kind of made that match just a grudge match. Well, why don't you make it worth something? Instead of being like, okay, you guys just wrestled, but you know, we're going to have you wrestle again, you know, and just for fun. That's what we're going to do. Some of the booking, I don't understand, you know, and Kurt Angle said this, I think it was last week, talked about how TNA in 2011 pretty much sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe he said that. And also he said something very interesting the other day. He said that he wants JR to call his last match, which I thought was really interesting. So anyway, so Robert Roode beat Jeff Hardy in a no DQ match, which was, I thought, set up properly. You have him win by DQ. You have Hardy win by DQ, but then you have Robert Roode win, but only in a no DQ match.
And of course, obviously there was interference in there and everything.
Of course.
Which will set up Hardy versus Bully Ray or Hardy versus somebody else in Mortal. And I mean, that's okay. You know, you have this progression that you're going on, but I don't know.
Then what's going to happen is Matt's going to come in and make the save.
I would like to see that. Like, no joke. I would, because I've heard he's doing a lot better. So that's pretty nice.
That's the one thing we haven't talked about in news. We always tell you about the negative stuff. Let's talk about something positive. Matt Hardy, you know, good for him. I'm really happy. And by the way, I know that you listen to this, Matt. Not really, but we hope you do. PJ20, I do agree. Great thing on Netflix. My wife and I both watched it, and actually she liked it, which is the weird part. PJ20?
So, anyway.
He tweeted that out.
Who cares about that? Why don't we get back to this and talk a little bit about something that we brought up.
Three months ago,
we brought this up. We talked about how Robert Roode was going to go on this path and James Storm was going to go on this other path. Mm-hmm. And they were eventually going to intersect a few months down the road.
Yeah.
We called it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's smart booking. Okay.
Very good booking.
That is smart. Great booking. So
it looks like we're booking the stuff. So anyway, so we didn't want to announce this in the news, but we got to talk about it. Our weekly top is going to be the WWE Network again, but it's the bad news. Actually, they are delayed until fall 2012 now. Mm-hmm. This is really weird because by now they should have set up which carriers are going to be going with them and which, you know, hey, Chicago area is going to get this or Atlanta area is going to get this. They should have announced all that stuff by now. And they haven't. And it's because they're not ready. They are not ready to do it. And that's the messed up part. They should have had this mapped out a year ago, what they're doing. And apparently they don't. So it has to be delayed until fall 2012. They haven't given anything else besides that. But they don't want to put on WrestleMania because WrestleMania is the big pay-per-view. They don't want to have any other complications besides WrestleMania. So it looks like we're going to have pay-per-views again until they start the network.
Oh, and you know, I just realized that we didn't add to the news section that we this is so stupid to me.
It's not confirmed, though. I know what you're talking about. It's not confirmed yet.
It's not confirmed. Are you sure?
It's not confirmed because they have a date for Vengeance still.
I was going to say they were saying that they're going to get rid of one of the pay-per-views and just knock it down to 12, which we've been hoping for a while. But, you know, they were talking about how they're going to do, you know, speaking of WrestleMania, their focus that week should be WrestleMania. So them pushing it back, not only do I understand, but I applaud, because you shouldn't put out a rushed product.
Correct.
Because when you do, you know, there are some things you can put out a rushed product and then fix it after it comes out. But there are certain things, this is one of them, that if you put out a rushed product, it's just it's not going to work. And then people are going to tune in to see it. And if it's not working day one, people aren't going to go back to it day 20, day 30, you know, day 365. People aren't going to do that. I applaud them for this. Mm-hmm. I do think that they need to focus on WrestleMania, but you are 150% correct. If you don't have your block ready to go, like let's say it's September 1st, okay? So September 1st, WWE TV is going to launch. And you don't have, okay, every Monday night, we are going to have original programming at 8 Eastern, which is, you know, prime time, right? Mm-hmm. So 8 Eastern, they're going to have the original programming. At 9, that's when Raw starts, right?
Yep.
So, you know, if they – or have original programming starting at 7, and then, you know, 8 is the Raw pregame where you can see a dark match. And then from 9 – I don't think that they can air it simultaneously so that they wouldn't have Raw on, but maybe past Raw. So Raw 1998, you know, like go from there and just air that. If they don't have blocks ready to go, you know, like this is what we are doing every Monday. This section is going to be replay from the day before. This is going to be original. This is going to be WCW, WWE, TNA, or I'm sorry, NWA, you know, AWA, whatever it is. They don't have this stuff ready to go. Somebody is obviously not doing their job, because you could give me 40 hours and I guarantee you that I will be able to have the programming ready for at least a month, if not for the rest of the year.
Oh, dude, I can do it right now. I already got to Wednesday done. Because what you said is correct. You need a Raw pre-show. So you run that, you know, at 8 o'clock. You show the dark match that they have. And the thing is, you can tape that. That's the best part. They can tape it. They can have the dark match happen at 8 o'clock. This is all Eastern Standard Time, by the way. You can have it at tape at 8 o'clock. They can be backstage while it's going on the entire time. And then have it shown at like 8:30 while they're taping Superstars. It's really simple. So you could say basically the 8 o'clock hour, you have pre. See, the 9 and the 10 o'clock slots are the hardest ones. Because at 10:15, you can cut back to Raw. And you can say, this is what's going on backstage. You can have like an after show. It can be 15 minutes. It can be 30 minutes. You can do whatever you want. But how are you going to fill the 9 and 10 o'clock slots? That's the question.
And I'm not sure about that either, because I don't know the restrictions. I would love to, you know, have someone let me know what the restrictions are on recording this stuff. Because if it's one of those things where, like, let's say they have to wait 3 days before they can show Raw, or like, you know, they can't show it right away, they have to wait an hour, you know, something like that. I would like to know, because that way, you know, you can get an idea of when they can show, you know, Raw and what they can show during that time, so that way they're not taking an audience away from what they are showing.
Correct. No, I actually understand. I know exactly what you're talking about. See, that's why I'm wondering if they're just going to run like either an old, like, Saturday night main event or something like that from WCW. You know, something that no one would probably watch, just so people will watch, you know, that. Or maybe have classic matches from certain people. I mean, they could do a lot of things. But you have to have crappy programming on during that time. Now, I know that they run, of course, we've said this before, you can watch Raw and SmackDown on Universal TV. You can watch that. But that's also owned by NBC. You know, I don't know how they're going to do this. I really don't. But see, they probably don't know either, and that's why they're like, we should probably delay it another 6 months.
And it depends on their rights that they can show their own stuff. Obviously, they own the rights to it, but you know, they have to think about their programming partners, because if they're airing it with USA, and so they're not going to – USA then won't get that revenue. Instead, WWE would get it from their network.
Yeah, they'll lose ad revenue. That's what
exactly.
They'll lose.
And so that's the problem. You can't, you know, tell USA Network and, you know, NBC Universal, you can be like, oh yeah, by the way, just to let you know, we're going to air this at the same time. Oh, you're going to delay us because the Westminster dog show's on. Maybe we didn't think this through.
You know,
they used to do that, yes, you know, obviously.
But the thing is, if they're smart, you could do something really, which I've always wanted them to do. You could still have them going on the network. They cut to commercial. Raw does. In between commercial breaks on there, you could say, why aren't you guys watching Raw? like have him at the event saying, why aren't you guys watching Raw? You're watching something from whatever. You guys should turn over to Raw because this match is coming up next or something like that. And then you would have to cut back to Raw.
Yeah, it just really depends. But I think that them delaying it is a very, very good thing. I would be very disappointed if I turned on WWE TV on April 1st and I got lackluster programming or I got really dumbed down programming, because that's the other thing I'm a little worried about, is that it's not going to be real enough. Like, it's going to be WWE real. So it'll be like, yeah, so apparently somebody won the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania 20. We don't know who, but it was this big old thing that happened, you know, like during the top 50 OMG moments when they said Vince McMahon died. And then John Cena, yeah, and then he came back a few weeks later, and he was like, it was all a big rouge. No, that's not what happened, actually. What happened was he came out the next week and said that Chris Benoit died. And,
yes.
You know, so that's what happened. That, so it's, you can't do the revisionist history. And that's the thing I'm really afraid of. I think if you delay it and you get the right people in there who say, you know, some of it will be a little revisionist, but we also need to make it so it's actually real – and they show that stuff, I would be okay with it.
Right. No, I completely, I agree with you, dude. So, anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.